Hello, friends, and welcome to Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty with Rita Dunaway and two very special guests, who we will introduce in just a minute. Our subject today is all about the choice between life and death. And there really can't be anything more timely than that, because we are now marking the 46th anniversary of the Supreme Court's 1973 decision to legalize abortion in the case of Roe v. Wade. But a lot of people will be asking, what's the big deal? After all these years, many people say that this is now, quote, settled constitutional law, unquote. Case closed. But if that is so, why is there still so much debate about it? Well, we are fortunate, as we are every week, to have Rita with us. She's a constitutional attorney herself. So Rita, help us out. Maybe, since some people are still confused about the law, we should start asking the question about Bible and science. What do they say about this issue of life?
Well, Dean, we all know that both the Bible and science agree that life begins at conception. So that case is closed. It's really the law that is a muddled mess on this issue. And the reason it is that way is because the Supreme Court wrongly decided that babies in the womb were not persons and therefore not protected by the 14th Amendment's explicit right to life. At the same time, the court declared that pregnant women enjoy a right to privacy, which is nowhere mentioned in the Constitution, and that that right entitles them to end the life of their unborn baby. And so that is why we have to continue this fight for life in the courts, in the culture, and in our own lives.
Well, Rita, thank you for that. And that really leads us to our two very special guests. Susan Knoll is the director of AvaCare here in Harrisonburg, and Amelie Davis is also with AvaCare, and I'll let her tell us what she does at AvaCare. So Susan and Amelie, welcome to Crossroads.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we are fortunate. We're so glad to have you. So Susan, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, about AvaCare, and that could take the rest of the program, I expect, and how you became involved in this mission, in this call.
Well, I am a graduate of JMU, and my degree is in business management and human resources. So after school, that's the course that I took. And then I went on to work at the Harrisonburg-Rockingham Free Clinic as the assistant director and really enjoyed serving in the nonprofit sector. And while I was serving there, I became a volunteer at AvaCare as a client advocate, and soon after that, I began a three-year term on the board. And while serving on the board, the director was retiring, and the position for executive director came open, and I agreed to help find the replacement with my background in human resources. And through conversation with the board, I was asked to pray about the possibility of applying for the position. And obviously, long story short, I agreed to pray about it. And through that, the Lord led me to the position. And I just celebrated my 11th anniversary as the executive director at AvaCare. So it's been an interesting journey how the Lord brought me here. I am married and I have a 10-year-old son. And we are members at Grace Covenant Church. So that's a little bit about me. AvaCare is a nonprofit medical clinic that serves women facing unintended pregnancy in our community. We are a Christian organization and life-affirming. And so our desire is to empower women who feel like abortion may be their best or only option to be well-informed and hopefully make a decision for life. That is our desire. Of course, that is not always the outcome, but our desire is for women to understand that their life is valuable and important and has purpose, and therefore the life of their unborn child is also valuable and has a purpose.
Susan, what is the general profile of women who come to you for help in dealing with an unintended pregnancy.
There are some general things that women share, but often because crisis is so complicated, there's so many different circumstances around each woman's particular situation. Primarily, we are serving women between the ages of 17 and 24. However, we certainly serve women and girls that are younger than that and also older than that. Many of them are women that are members of this community. Some are working, some are not. Some are college students. That certainly is a demographic that we are consistently and constantly trying to reach better. Many of them are unmarried. Some are cohabitating. Some are not in a long-term relationship. But what I would say they have in common is that they have found themselves in a pregnancy that is not desired and certainly wasn't planned. That is really our focus. We are not serving women who are delighted to be pregnant. We are serving women who, again, feel like abortion may be their best or only option. And so there is certainly an element of crisis, of urgency, of panic, and almost every woman that walks through our doors.
Can you give us an idea of what are the reasons that you typically hear for those women who express the interest in having an abortion? Why is it that they're considering that choice?
I would say the majority of women, the first answer that would come out of their mouth is, I'm not ready. Many of these women may express a desire to one day have children. However, the current timeline is not one that they would have chosen. And so most women will articulate that they are not ready. Sometimes that's because they're in school, whether it be high school or college. Particularly the college age population, it's typically because they are not ready. Sometimes it's that they cannot afford it. Particularly with single moms who already have children, there's already a burden in being the primary parent, the primary breadwinner. They already feel really stretched for time and resources, and the idea of adding another child to that mix feels almost impossible, and many times they feel like it would be unfair to their other children. Sometimes that's hard for us to understand, but that is a very consistent thing we hear from women that already have children. Some women will say they didn't ever desire to have children, but I would say the majority, it's time, or they are not in a relationship that they feel supported in. To be frank, sometimes the father of the baby is not a man that they desire to have a long-term relationship with in any fashion, and having a child with that person certainly constitutes potentially a long-term relationship. So lots of different reasons, but I would say those are some pretty common responses that we hear.
Well, Susan, just to follow up on that, when they do come in, do they come in alone? Do they have some support, like a parent or a boyfriend, a husband, or all by themselves?
The majority of our clients come alone. Oftentimes, women are contacting us just as soon as they've missed their period or as soon as they've taken a test and want to be sure that they truly are indeed pregnant before they tell anyone. And so that is why many of them come alone. Occasionally, a client will bring a friend or a parent. And I would say about 10 to 20% of the time, they might bring the father of the baby. We are certainly equipped to serve women when they bring their partner with client advocates that are male and that can sit down with these gentlemen and talk with them about their situation, fears, and pressures as well. But I would say the majority of our clients are coming alone to get the information they need in order to then decide who are they going to bring into that decision. Many of the women that are abortion determined, meaning their plan is to proceed with an abortion, oftentimes don't want to tell anyone about that decision, want to just go ahead and, as they might say, take care of it and return to life as normal and maintain that secret. We certainly do encourage women to not keep it a secret, as we believe secrets are are hard to keep and can sometimes haunt us. And so we always encourage women, no matter what their decision is, to bring someone in along with them on that decision that can be there to support them.
Well, Susan, given the fact that they're already leaning toward an abortion, do you present other options to them? And if so, how do they respond to that?
Absolutely. Our desire is to make sure that women are well informed about all of their options. We're very clear with women on the phone when we make the appointment that we're going to talk with them about all of their options. They know that when they come to AvaCare, they're going to get the opportunity to have a consultation with a nurse. They're going to get a pregnancy test. As long as they meet the criteria, they're going to be able to get confirmation through ultrasound. As many of you know, ultrasound is required in the state of Virginia before an abortion, and we are a place that can provide that ultrasound to them at no cost. And we believe that's a true advantage that we have, to be able to be the place that can give them that ultrasound to receive the truth about their child, make sure there's a heartbeat, make sure the pregnancy is intrauterine, and estimate gestational age. All of that is really important information, no matter what option a woman is considering. And so, yes, when a woman comes, they are presented with all of their options.
That includes adoption.
Adoption, parenting, and abortion. We do not refer for, advocate for, or perform abortions, but we do believe that it is very important that women are educated about that option. And again, we want to be the place to give them that information so that we know they're hearing truth.
Well, just a final follow-up on that, how many of them would change their minds in the course of your consultation to elect to carry the baby to term?
The statistics that we have, I can quote from last year, I think about 55% of the women that felt abortion might be their best or only option chose life. Now, we know that there's more women out there because we don't always get follow-up opportunity with women or don't always get to know the final result. And certainly all of these women are not necessarily changing their mind the moment they're in our building, but through the relationships we develop with them through the weeks to come and the follow-up that we do, we're able to confirm that at least 55% of those women did choose life for their unborn child.
And would it be fair to say that the ultrasound is pretty instrumental in reaching that final decision?
I do believe the ultrasound is a powerful tool. I'm a huge fan of the advocacy that we provide as well, because our advocacy is really, our approach is a holistic one. So we are desiring to serve women physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And that advocacy piece is really where we take care of their heart. We listen to their concerns, their obstacles. We explore their support system. We talk with them about their values, their dreams, their goals. And I think that's a really powerful time as well, where they have a safe place away from all the noise of the culture and their personal lives to really sit and reflect and be cared for. But the ultrasound is a visual, and some like to say a window to the womb, and really gives her the opportunity to see her child.
To life.
I want to stay on this point for just a minute because I think it's really an important one, and I think it's interesting what you said about how when you're on the phone with these prospective clients scheduling an appointment, that you're very upfront with them about what you're going to do with them when they come for their appointment at the center, that, you know, you're going to talk with them about all of their options. You're going to give them all kinds of different information. And I think that's really important for people to understand about what you're doing, because if you were just to listen to the media or Planned Parenthood or abortion activists, you hear them paint centers like AvaCare as places where you're just trying to somehow trick women into coming in your doors and then pressure them to make one certain decision. So I think it's really an important point about the way you're caring for the women holistically, and you're giving them information so that they can make wise choices for themselves.
Yes, we tell them that our desire is that when they leave AvaCare, they would be empowered to make an informed decision. And we oftentimes tell them that we believe we all make better decisions when we have all of the information. And oftentimes, women are hasty in their panic, in their crisis, which we all can be when we're responding to crisis. Their first instinct is to just go ahead and call Planned Parenthood or an abortion clinic. So we're grateful when people come to AvaCare and take the time to kind of sit back and reflect, gather some information. We encourage them to process the information, read the information we give them, and certainly follow up with us if they have questions. But we do encourage them to take their time in making a decision and try to help them understand that this is a big decision.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Emily, I want to go to you now. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Why don't you start just by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you became involved in AvaCare, and then tell us what it is that you do. I know you play multiple roles there.
Sure. Well, I'm a Virginia transplant. I'm originally from San Diego. We've been here since 2012, and I am a post-abortive woman, which is part of my journey in coming to AvaCare. The first year that I was here, Susan came to speak at our church, and immediately when I heard her speaking, there was a check in my heart that I just had to be involved in this ministry. I had gone through some healing from my abortions before that point, but was not completely healed, but I knew that I wanted to be part of a ministry that was involved in something that I was very passionate about. So I started volunteering, I think it was 2013, and I came on staff as the Office and Events Coordinator just this August. So I'm a recent staff member. And I also coordinate our after-abortion care program called THREE, T-H-R-E-E, which stands for 3 in 10 Women That Have Had an Abortion Experience. So I'm married to my husband, Dante. We have 5 children, 3 of whom are at home still, and an almost 5-year-old grandson.
Wow.
Well, welcome to AvaCare and to Harrisonburg, and glad to have you with us. But generally speaking, Emily, what can you tell us then from your experience about the emotional and the physical effects a woman can expect to have following an abortion?
Well, that's multifaceted, Dean. Of course, every woman is different. Every situation is different. And I think it's important, really quickly, I want to address crisis. You know, not everybody has experienced an abortion, but everybody at some point in their life has been through crisis. And I think that in crisis, we sometimes lack the ability to remember truth or to see clearly, to make informed decisions, which is why, as Susan shared, we're very passionate about providing information to women in crisis so that they can make an informed decision and really just help them pause and think about the impact that this decision can have on their life. I was not able to do that. I wasn't able to think ahead to what the consequences may be. I could only see the pain in the moment. So again, every woman is different, but some of the common effects, which I personally experienced every single one, the internal would be depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. Outwardly, there's promiscuity, drug and alcohol addiction, self-harm. But I think that the common thread for me through all of that was just hopelessness. Hopeless that the guilt and the shame would ever go away, that I would ever have a safe place to really talk about my experience and to find true healing.
Hmm. Well, along those lines, what kind of help does AvaCare or other similar organizations offer to women who have had an abortion?
I think first, just generally speaking, you know, as the public and as church members, that just providing a safe place for a woman to talk about it, to offer a compassionate ear that will just be willing to listen to the heart of a woman. I think that oftentimes we're well-meaning, but we lose sight of, you know, in the case for life, we lose sight of a woman whose life has been impacted by abortion. And I remember sitting even in churches thinking, I can't share. Nobody is talking about this. I certainly cannot share my story. So just being willing to talk about it from a non-judgmental, compassionate standpoint, understanding that this is a woman's life and it's her heart that is at stake. And for AvaCare specifically, we are passionate about reaching women in a point of crisis, in a point of hurt, and walking alongside them through the healing process. We know that we are not the healer, but we know the one who is, and his name is Jesus. And part of our THREE program is that we offer a Bible study called Surrendering the Secret. It's a post-abortive Bible study that is written with the desire to help walk a woman through the heartbreak of abortion. It's a 9-week study, and it's led by myself and another staff member who is also post-abortive. And really, our desire is to come alongside these women and to give them a safe place to share their experience and to find true hope and true healing.
Well, Emily, that is so powerful, and thank you for sharing that. Are you a part of the counseling program then, not only in advising a mother about the options for abortion, but also about the consequences that she might expect if she decides to have an abortion? Are you a part of that process?
Not all the time. There are opportunities that arise on occasions where I would have the opportunity to speak with a woman, but our client advocates are trained, and some of our client advocates are post-abortive. So we have women who are well-trained in sharing that information.
Okay. I'd like to add one thing about the 3 program. This is a program not just for our clients who choose abortion.
Yes.
This is a program that is for anyone in the community, in the local churches who are post-abortive. And oftentimes, the women who walk through the 3 program with us are actually women that are 5, 10, 15, 20 years post-abortive. Oftentimes, after a woman has an abortion, there's a sense of relief. And not immediate regret. Mm-hmm. But for a woman who's had years of walking through those consequences, there comes a time, usually in their life, where they start to put the pieces together and realize maybe these things I'm feeling, mm-hmm. these things I'm walking through, are related to my abortion. And then when they hear us come speak, or they hear a program like this, or something triggers that, there's a recognition of, I really do need healing. So this program is for anyone, mm-hmm. regardless of age, regardless of how long it's been since your abortion.
Yes.
It's also for people who have been involved in an abortion, maybe in a different way, maybe for a nurse who participated in abortions earlier in their career, or maybe for a parent who pressured their child to have an abortion, or a friend who drove their friend to an abortion clinic and now regrets that and could be dealing with some of the same regret. So I just want to make sure that the listeners know mm-hmm. that this program is for anyone who wants to find healing from the impact of abortion.
Maybe now's a good time for you to mention how people can get in touch with you.
Specifically for the 3 program, they can find more information at our website, which is support-avacare.org under the Programs tab, or they can call confidentially 540-434-0685 or by email 3@avacare4u.org.
Okay, now that's specifically with reference to the post-abortive woman. We'll ask for general information, Susan, that you can provide at the end of our program about how to contact AvaCare. It reminds me, when we go to the March for Life every year, the most powerful part of that march is to see women standing in front of the Supreme Court holding their signs, "I regret my abortion." And they go through the same issues that you said you faced in your own personal experience, the depression, the suicidal thoughts, the drug addiction, the promiscuity. And then there are also men who stand up and say, "I regret my lost fatherhood." It is a powerful moment in that march. But Susan, getting back to you, what advice can you give to both men and women, and especially to young people, on how to avoid situations that can lead to an unplanned and unwanted pregnancy? So if you could just offer some advice.
We at AvaCare do believe in abstinence until marriage. That is a message that we have. So for young people who might be listening that are in that current culture and dealing with the peer pressure, we would just encourage an abstinent lifestyle and accountability. For women and men that have already found themselves in the situation of an unintended pregnancy, we do still talk with them about healthy relationships. We challenge them in that area. We talk with them about their decision to become sexually active and what that was about. And we do talk with them about the opportunity to choose abstinence going forward to help avoid being in this situation again. Abstinence, of course, is not a popular option in our culture, but we do believe it's biblical. And we also believe, just from a medical perspective and just from the perspective of avoiding pregnancy, that it is really the only option. So that would be our encouragement.
Now, Emily and Susan, what would you say to someone listening to the program who wants to know what they can do to help promote the cause of life in our culture broadly and also with AvaCare specifically? How can people help?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I am a firm believer that everybody can do something. And I know this is an issue that many people are very passionate about, but often feel like the issue is so huge and so overwhelming that I can't really make a difference. And it's important that people know that AvaCare is on the front line fighting for life every day in this community. And so just by being a part of AvaCare, you can be a part of helping to promote life in your local community. And of course, we appreciate prayer, not only for our clients, but for our team, our staff, as this is very difficult work, emotionally and spiritually. We operate on donations from the community. We are able to provide all of these services to women, including ultrasound, at no cost to them. And that's really important that we can say, we're going to be able to give you all these services and at no cost. Mm-hmm. And that's only made possible through the contributions of the local community, through individuals, businesses, and churches. So financially partnering with AvaCare is a very significant way that people can be involved. And there's other ways through some volunteer opportunities, just little things that we can talk with people about individually over the phone if they're interested, collecting diapers at their church through a baby shower. Every Monday on our Facebook page, we post the material item that we're most in need of. So there's just little ways that people can be involved and be a part of helping to promote life in the local community.
Well, and this really goes to you, Emily. You're an events coordinator, and I think you're in the middle of a baby bottle campaign. Tell us how people can really participate and contribute both financially and personally.
Yes. Well, firstly, I would be on the lookout for the campaign at your church. If there is not one currently or if there has not been one, maybe a wonderful opportunity would be to become a liaison for their church.
For the baby bottle campaign.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, we provide baby bottles to individual churches, which we then in turn ask the congregation to fill with check, cash, or change, and return to us. It's a fun way to participate and to donate.
Mm-hmm. Terrific.
And well, Susan, you want to, before we close out, give our listeners contact information just in general if they want to send a donation or just get in touch with you?
We are located at 833 Martin Luther King Jr. Way. And our website is AvaCare4U. That's AvaCare4U.org. And you can also contact us by phone 540-434-0685.
Well, Susan and Emily, we're out of time. You two are absolutely on the front lines here, and I just want to personally thank you, and also on behalf of our program, our listeners and supporters, thank you for what you're doing. So that's it for today. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, go to valleyfamilyforum.org and click on the link to Crossroads on the homepage. We want to thank our generous sponsors at Blue Ridge Chimney Services and the dental practice of Scott Dunaway, along with one of our church supporters, Garber's Church of the Brethren, located on Garber's Church Road here in Harrisonburg. We also want to thank so many of you for your prayers, your encouragement, and your financial support. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation to help keep Crossroads on the air, you can do so by check to Crossroads at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, 22803. I'm Rita Dunaway with Dean Welty and engineer Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads, where faith and culture meet.
Rejoice, 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 let us rejoice.